and welcome to the Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide to single life living in your 20s, 30s and 40s. I'm Chantelle the Coach, a single life empowerment coach that helps women to live their best single lives by understanding that they don't need a relationship to have the best time in their lives, but instead to focus on their friendships, to find new people to build into that network and to use that to overcome the loneliness and the disconnect that we feel when we're single. And this podcast, The Single Girl's Guide to Life, covers all kinds of topics for single life, from dating, friendships, relationships, living on your own, to even more. And it is a free open resource for anybody that's single, particularly single girls, though it comes from a female perspective, to listen to and to feel a sense that someone gets what you're going through, that there's a whole library of podcast episodes that you can explore that should suit you at some point in your single life. But if you are enjoying this podcast, this episode, or any of the other episodes, then please leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your podcast player. And even better, if you're really enjoying the series or this episode in particular, give it a screenshot and share it on your Instagram. Now, one of the other things that I know that I show a lot of on TikTok is my solo adventure journeys. The reason that this goes alongside single life is because we feel like we can't go and do the things that we want to do when we're single because we're single. Don't get me wrong. It is nice to go on holiday with someone. So if you want to go to a beach holiday, it's really nice to have someone just to chill with around the pool, at the beach, go to dinner with, and to have someone to talk to whilst you're there. Unfortunately, being single and not then having single friends in particular, really big part of that is that sometimes you don't have people to go with. It may be that all of your friends are coupled up and at the moment, finances are tight anyway, let alone the fact that, you know, if they can go on holiday, they're going to go probably with their significant other. So asking them to go on another one or to go with them doesn't quite work. The alternative you might have is that you can go with a family member, but it's just not quite the same. Or you might be able to go with your, like, mum and dad, but you're going with your mum and dad. Like, it's not the same. They might pay for it if it's your mum and dad or something like that. But still, sometimes we think that we can't go and do those things because it would be nice to go on holiday with someone. People. And of course it is. We want to share some of our lives with people, but we also cannot let some of those practicalities stop us. So whilst my first kind of suggestion towards that would be make sure that you're creating new friendships, whether that's through finding other singles, or there's loads of travel groups on Facebook. You can find them through TikTok and they link to groups. There's loads of people looking to travel and you take the risk of kind of stranger danger to some degree. But it is that element of those are the people looking to go. And lots of people have really positive experiences of that. And it's just about being safe online. Now, that isn't what I'm going to delve into today, because I've done previous podcast episodes about taking your first solo trip, preparing for that. What I wanted to do was talk about the feelings of anxiety that can come up, the anxious feelings we get about solo travel that might completely stop you from going. And that you never get past because you're like, but I must go with someone, or I must be going with someone I know, or I could never go too far because this, that, and the other. Now, I would previously, in videos and stuff, be like, oh, it doesn't freak me out to go on my own. I don't know why. I think I'm very independent, for one, if I have to really think about it. And two, I've just been doing it for a long time. So even when I was in a relationship, I would go on conferences for maths teaching events. Yes, I'm that geeky. In my Easter holidays, I loved it. Still, I will still go if I still do my teaching stuff. Side note. But I used to travel to Derby Way or Stratford-upon-Avon and drive there and go on my own. Sometimes I then later went with my boss, my head of department. But before that, I used to just go on my own. It was part of it. It was never a thing. It was never a thing to me that I was going on my own. It never built up to that. I had no idea what I was going to do when I was there, but I remember I can clearly see in my mind the experience of walking into the hotel. I also thought I was going to be late, like I was late for the registration time. I'd never been to a conference before, and I didn't realize that whole registration time is literally like a casual arrival and have some like brunch, lunch, and then things actually cook off like a few hours later. So there was me in the drive, like calling them, being like, oh, I'm gonna be late. I didn't have a concept of what a conference was like, and that was okay. Like, I got over that. And I remember walking into the dining hall. I think I was sat down on my own and someone joined me. And you'll find that with something like a conference, pretty commonplace for people to randomly sit with one another if there's an empty table, because you realize you're at the same event, you've got the badge on, and that's how it goes. So having had those experiences when I was in a relationship but was doing things on my own, it didn't then freak me out to go and do other activities on my own. In that instance, I had something that was going to fill my time. And when I shifted towards going alone, I just thought, well, I'll find things to do, or I'll explore, do whatever it is. It didn't faze me. However, that would have been like at least a week ago and all the time before it that I'd have said that. Until the other night, when I woke up in an absolute panic over one of the adventures that I have coming up. And it's not the one that you think that it probably would be. So for those that have listened or are part of the Single Life Be Like community, you know, and I know that a lot of people are very excited about this one. Some of you know that I'm going on what's called a surprise trip, S-R-P-R-S. My friend told me about it 2 and a bit years ago. It's where you go on holiday or you get sent somewhere and you don't know where you're going. You find out when you get to the airport. Now, I think that one would have been more panic inducing than anything else. And don't get me wrong, I've had a few moments over the last week or two where I feel slightly stressed because I was a donut and put 2 different airports down, because in this area of Essex, you can get to 3 airports, maybe 4 or 5 even, but 3 airports are the big ones that we normally go for: Stansted, Heathrow, Gatwick, but sometimes Luton, and I've never done it, but Southend's great too, I'm sure, but like in terms of proximity. So I'd put 2 down because I thought, oh, it doesn't matter which one I go from, not realising that I wouldn't know which one I was going from until a week before. And I feel slightly stressed about that, because whilst I'm going to be carefree on this holiday, because they have done my hotel booking or whatever I'm staying in, can't remember now, B&B, but I don't know what city I'm going to and I don't know what the times are. I am still an organised person. And this is really pushing me out of my comfort zone, because I would have everything sorted by now. Not my itinerary, but I would have car park booked. I would know how I was getting there. I'd know where I was going from. And I would know where I was going to. And I'd know where my passport was going to be. And if I'm allowed to, I'd have probably done a check-in online as well by now. Besides the point, that isn't the case. But this isn't the one that's caused me the most stress. Yes, I've had those few moments. But it's that level of out of controlness that's like bringing things up for me. I'm also doing a trip to Tomorrowland, which is a big dance festival. Again, this is, both of those are delayed from coronavirus times 2020. So these are all things I haven't got the money for now, but they were things I paid for a long time ago. Now, the thing with the Tomorrowland one is that it's as much a surprise as a surprise trip, because it is a surprise package. And I also don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. And I was like, I might have made the biggest mistake ever here, because the solo trip on my own is fine because I'm just solo traveling, right? I'm just going to do my own thing. With the festival, even though I've done festivals on my own, I can feel this utter sense of like, there is a lot of unknown here. I have no idea what this festival is like. So it is a big festival. I think it's going to end up being the biggest festival I've ever been to. And whilst I can deal with festivals, and you know, I've been to V, I did Best of All, Creamfields, there's just something about the vastness of that, the unknown element of like where I'll be sleeping quite. I know some of it, but I also don't know the hotels we're going to beforehand. I don't know how the food works. I know it's a cashless system. I've since looked things up to give myself some reassurance of things. But hopefully, in the way I'm telling this story, you can feel the utter panic that's within. And so it then reminds me that sometimes I do still get very worried, or a little bit worried, about going on my own. And part of that is because I don't know what quite is going to happen with that. And I have given myself scenarios where I'm like, oh God, like I have chosen to put myself in this position. This is no one else's fault but my own. And so it just reminds me of the feelings. Whilst they're not exactly the same as when you're just worried about going on your own, I think some elements are the same, is that you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's new to me. This stage is new to me. And in both scenarios, the new stage is that I'm going to be in a different country, right? So it's not even like I'm in the UK. I was also like, oh my God, what am I going to do about the phone bills? Like, I can do UK travel and I could probably deal with not knowing where I was going either. But to go to two different countries and do it, and also be in an environment, at least for Tomorrowland, where I don't know, I might get away with it being a British speaker. I'm going to be in the lucky camp, and really privileged camp, that people speak my language and I haven't got to worry. But there's going to be so many different languages. This is an international festival. People come from everywhere. So there is clearly a worrying element for me. I will get through it and I'll be fine when I'm there. It's the thoughts about it, right? I mean, I had this experience and then within a day or two, I was booking another abroad trip. I have more control over this one, but I am going to see Ludovico Einaudi perform in another country late in the year. So it's not like it's put me off and that I'm worried to an extent I don't think I'm going to get through it and be okay because I've booked another thing. And in that one, I've actually booked a hostel in a shared room, which is the first time I will have ever done that. So that's where I knew I was pushing myself with that one. You'll notice I almost enjoy the thrill of it. Mentally, there's a little bit of me freaking out, but there's also this utter reassurance, and in fact, just assurance of myself, that I have done things on my own before and I will be okay. I don't believe I'm going to anywhere that I would be worried about going. I'm aware of the scenario in Europe for the surprise trip. If I get to the airport and I look and I go, I really don't feel safe going to wherever they've put, I will not go. They won't send us anywhere that you can't, or the advice by the government is not to travel there. So it can't be anywhere where too much is going on. But I can look at it at any country, and if I just don't feel comfortable, I don't feel right, then I won't go. And people will go, what a waste of money. Agreed. But I have to put my own safety and your instinct over that. I do not want to be going to another country freaking out the whole time. So there's just these ways of dealing with the anxiety of going on a solo trip. And you might even be going, but Chantelle, that what you're doing is what I want to be doing. I can't even go down the road. I can't even stay in a hotel on my own yet. I can't even go in the UK. I can't even take a road trip anywhere. How am I meant to get where you're at? You're so lucky to be there. And we'll always feel that. Our problems move with us. We will always have something more difficult to face. Something that worries us that didn't worry us before because we didn't know it was there. I didn't think I was going to be worried going abroad. And now I'm a matter of weeks away from it. And I'm like, oh God. And I just think it's because the lack of control is there as well. I'm very organised. Hence why I organise events. Hence why I organise a New Year's Eve getaway 7 months before New Year's Eve. Like, that is my character. I like to know what's going on. I plan my 18th birthday a year in advance. Like, it's just part of who I am. So, this was always going to be a push and a challenge to do, but it's transforming it into what I referred to just now, which is the excitement and the thrill. This is meant to be exciting, and we have to almost transform some of that nervous energy into, yeah, but that's because it's exciting and new. It's because I don't know what's going to happen that it's going to be interesting and it's going to be a unique experience. This is the first time I've gone away on my own. It's how you want to start framing your solo trips. So that when you're feeling that nerves, you're like, this is not nervous energy. This is partially excitement. And I can feel that just by acknowledging that now and talking about it. I can feel that in the pit of my stomach moving towards that. Because I also know that I want to be able to share it with you guys. Not that that's why I do these trips, but I want to be able to share with you guys what it was really like to do, because then it shows that transformation. And that's what life is about, sharing our lives, which is why I don't feel ashamed of sharing my solo life trips on Instagram or TikTok, and why you shouldn't either on your personal socials or if you want to make anything public. Our lives and the way that our social structure works and what we need as humans is connection and shared experiences. And if you can't go away with someone, then by all means, I'm going to share that I went away and what fun stuff I got up to. I'm not going to do it in a way that doesn't talk about the difficult things. You know, I will be honest and give you a video, or I'll probably go live in the Single Life Be Like community. I don't know if I'll do it whilst I'm there. There's a safety element of me that always sticks with you. You should rarely give away your location, and because I've said where I am, and your timing of where you're going online, because that's naive, right? That is a bad move when you're solo traveling. Hey, just think about Taken. I mean, they didn't even put that they were online anywhere, but they were together and they were hunted down. I'm not up for that. Bit extreme. But it's that element of you've got to still be safe with yourself. And I was looking, for example, at how to use your phone abroad, and it looks like O2 are pretty all right with it for up to a certain amount. I might even turn Find My Friends on with like my mum and brother just to be like, I don't care how much this uses whilst I'm abroad. I'll see how much it's going to cost me and so on. But I'd rather people can see where I am nearly at every given moment than them not be able to see that. I'll decide nearer the time. But I will come back and I will talk about what I found difficult. So with the surprise trip, it will be the first time that I'm going abroad on a flight on my own. Full stop. I've never done that. So I will talk about that. I know other people feel the worry of feeling lonely, which I'll talk about in another one. Because that's not feeling anxious about it. Or it might be that you feel anxious about the feeling you're going to have. In that instance, I suppose, I would make sure that I've planned time. Not the whole time, because, for example, this surprise trip, someone said to me when I told them about it, they were like, oh, so you've got a couple of hours once you find out where you're going to plan what you're doing. Absolutely not, my friend. We are going so that we don't know what we're doing. There's my drive for this one. However, if you're feeling anxious that you're going to get lonely whilst you're there, I would suggest having a few different ways to keep yourself busy and to schedule in a few events so that you know that you've got something to get up for in the morning, you don't lay in the whole time, you know a couple of key places to go and see and make the most of, and just reduce the anxiety of, oh my God, I've got 2 to 3 to 4 days away on my own, what am I going to fill my time with, am I not going to be lonely? Instead, you can go, well, I'm going to see this on the Monday, do this on the Tuesday, and this on the Wednesday, and in between that, I will fill my time with instinctual things. It's a bit of a balance then, because you wouldn't want to go away, I don't think, and be superbly busy. Maybe that is your style. It's not mine. I'm still going for a holiday, even though these are 2 nights for the surprise trip. So I get there, arrival day. It's not going to be, you know, the most exciting, but I'm also going to be a little bit tired, but want to explore a bit. Then I've got a whole full day. And then the day after that, I come back. I think it's a late or an afternoony flight. So I've got some of the morning, but you know, you're going to have your bags and all that malarkey. I don't want to fill my time too much there because there's not a lot of time. And I do want to be quite carefree and just go and be like, here I am. But it's wrong of us to think that for all the solo trips you do, you'll never feel anxious about it at some point. As I said, I tend not to. I don't worry and I'm not overly worried. I can reassure myself that I've done things before. I've been abroad with people. It's not like I've never been abroad before. I feel like that would be another step if you're going to do that. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going. I will be going abroad. The second trip is via Eurostar. I've done that before with people, haven't done it on my own. So that'll be an interesting one to do. The other element of the festival one is, do I take a suitcase? Or do I take a backpack? I don't have to come up with my own camping stuff, but it is a 3 or 4 day festival, and with a festival you're going to want a variety of clothes. Do I take a suitcase because I'm going to a hotel first, but then, but I don't know, it's a bit of a weird one. So there's a lot to work out. Anxiety with a lot of things is being worried about what's going to happen and not knowing. Sometimes it's the changes that are going to happen as well. And you're worried about that. I think the other thing is that you should look at not knowing what's going to happen as excitement. It's exciting that I'm going on a trip and I don't know where I'm going. Because I'm so organised all the time, and I'm like the social organiser of a lot of the groups I used to be in or still am in, like I always know what's happening. I always know what the itinerary is because I made it. I always know when we have to pay. I always know when we have to do that. I know a lot of it because I sorted it. To not have to make that decision when you're going away is lush. Like, I didn't have to go, do I want to go to Paris, Milan, Florence? Don't know where else there is. Budapest. I don't know. And someone else is choosing for me and someone else is telling me where I'm going from. That's hard for somebody like me. But it's another bit of growth as well, because once I do it, I'm going to feel so accomplished. I'm going to be like, I didn't need to know where I was going. I actually got through that all right. Even if I have asked a couple of questions to the customer service people. Because I was like, when do I find this out? Solo travel gives you so many opportunities to push yourself. The first UK trip was easy. Compared to this, that's what it felt like. But I knew I was going to have to talk to people to keep myself entertained, because I was like, I can't go 10 days without speaking to anyone. But a festival is always my top choice, because people are very open to speaking to you at a festival. Whether it's a big festival, little festival, concert, even the McFly and Scout for Girls concert I went to in Southend as part of the road trip. Lovely couple. Can't remember their names now. It's probably on a previous episode. And they shared donuts with me. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them where you just have to embrace it. And at one point when I was at festival, I was like, I'm going to go home, I think. Sophie Ellis-Bextor had cancelled because she had COVID, bless her soul. But that was kind of who I was there for. And I was like, I've seen Becky Hill before. I don't really need to stay. And there's a long time till her. But at that exact moment, I had a message come through from someone that I bumped into at the festival that I knew, saying, come and join us. And then another couple started talking to me, and I hung out with them in the end for the rest of the day and stayed. It kind of will always work out all right. And you don't know if you never try. I would rather, as part of the human experience, feel this kind of worry and this apprehension and get through it than never experience it at all. I feel like life would be very mundane and boring if we didn't have some of the negative kind of feelings, worry and stress, for the result of joy and contentment and excitement and this exploration. I think that's what life's about. And you have to take the rough with the smooth. You have to take the good with the bad if you want to label it that way. I don't mind anxiety. It's just making you check. Like, arguably, that anxiety was like you don't know enough about what's going on right now. Like, I didn't realise that I wasn't going to find out which airport I was going to go from. And they've told me that they're going to tell me a week before so I can plan my car park. But otherwise, I actually haven't worked out how I'm getting there. Am I going to ask someone for a lift? Am I going to pay for parking? Maybe my anxiety was just a sign that I didn't know enough yet and my brain wanted more information. The same with the Tomorrowland trip. It wanted to know, like, what did this surprise trip involve? Am I going to be looked after the whole time I'm there or just for the bit before? Do you get a plug socket in the campsite? Because if not, are you going to need to take 6,000 battery packs? Anxiety can just be an alert. Sometimes our anxiety systems can be hypersensitive, which mine can be in dating. It's not so much now. Notice it's only a month or a couple of weeks before a bit that my thing has triggered. It's like, what are you doing? And that's how we should look at it. It's just going, what do I need to know and find out to feel more comfortable with what's going to be going on in a few weeks' time? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it's looking at the way our body responds and seeing it for what it is, which is safety. It's trying to make sure that we're staying safe, that we're being clever, that we're not being naive and silly, and that we've thought everything through as best we can. And in some scenarios, in this case, I am not going to know the answer until at least a week before, or until I'm there and it's happening, which is a lovely way to stay present. That doesn't mean I'm used to it in this scenario, but I'm excited to try it. So when you're feeling your anxiety over a solo trip and taking it, I think first you have to commit to something. I've spoken about how to take your first trip and build up. But you have to start something. And then as you get closer to having committed to that, you need to address, what is it that you don't know? And some things you're going to be able to work out. Like, I looked up some of the details, got in touch with them. Other things, I'm not going to know what it's going to be like at this festival. I'm going to need to be clever enough to have my bank card about, to have internet access. I can make sure I've got those things so that if something goes wrong, or I can even buy a SIM and a really basic phone whilst I'm out there, so I'm on a network out in Belgium. I've got a few ideas for how I'm going to do things, but I'm not panicked and worried that I'm not going to be able to deal with it. And it's those kind of things, those practical things I've researched, that give me the confidence to say, okay, I felt a bit worried, I felt a bit anxious, but I'm going to be okay. Turn that anxiety and those feelings into excitement and embrace the fact that you are doing something new, something that's pushing you outside of your zone, and something that gives you a human experience. That means that this time on this earth wasn't just going to work, coming back home, sleeping and waking up the next day and keeping a routine, that you were doing something different that you don't necessarily do all the time. I will be talking more probably on TikTok a lot, but also whilst I'm then away recorded, but I'll post it afterwards on Instagram as well. So if you want to keep up with the travels, then please do. I'm also hoping to try and do a little bit of a UK road trip somewhere where I can take the Single Girls Cup to a few places as well, but we'll have to see how that goes. Until next time, everybody, keep thriving and celebrating single life together.